Amen. Thank you, Jessica. I want to thank all of you for being here this morning, and really a painful time in our church here at the holidays and the loss of Miss Pauline. She fell out of a chair picking up two pieces of puzzle off the floor and fractured her hip, separated. Went up Thursday morning to see her and had surgery on Thursday evening. Wasn't to be something major, small incisions and putting screws and pins in, and everything went well. Was headed back up on Friday morning to see her, and Brenda called and said her mom was very nauseous and it probably wasn't a good time for a visit. And so came back. Brenda texted me later on that day and said that things had seemed to turn around. She was setting up, wanted some fruit to eat, feeling better. And we're thinking everything's moving along, progressing. And yesterday I picked up my phone. I don't even remember what time it was. And Stephanie had sent me a text that Mom, Grandma passed away last night. And I was just flabbergasted. I mean, just blown away. And, you know, we all go through situations, and it's always hard. I don't care when you have them, but especially times of the holidays. And please be much in prayer for the Reynolds family. I know it's a difficult time for them. My wife and I went up this week, Monday or Tuesday evening, and had dinner with a long-term friend of ours. This lady and her husband, we were in each other's weddings 40 years ago. And 6 years ago, her husband went out on the farm, sat down under a tree, and shot himself. And as we sat there for several hours talking with Kathy, left behind three daughters, one of the things that Kathy said as we talked to her candidly concerning, you know, what had gone on, she said, you know, God has been so gentle with me and teaching me much in going through this trial, even 6 years down the road, and the intensity of what she still faces and the depth of how fresh and real it is in that heart. And I'm constantly reminded, even this morning, in sharing with you concerning burdens. Somebody said every path has a puddle somewhere along life. And we all go through them, and they're all difficult. One man looked at a friend of his and he said, listen, learn to be kind to everyone because everybody's having a hard time. And I can look at each one of you and I think about things that you're dealing with and situations that you're going through. And life is extremely hard, and it's not fair, and it's tough, and it doesn't get better sometimes. Sometimes it gets worse. But how do you respond to that? What is God teaching you in the midst of situations that we deal with in life? And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the tire gets on the asphalt. And what we learn in this place and going out from, because we don't know what a day is going to hold. Little did I imagine, and the Reynolds family and you also would think, that Miss Pauline was out last. She was church last Sunday, went out with Ruth and them. Ruth told me this week, said, I looked at Pauline. We were leaving the restaurant and said, Pauline, you need to slow down. We can't keep up with you. And she had a walker. And, you know, she was just that kind of lady. Up until the last hours, you know, even Thursday morning when I saw her, she just as happy and jolly and laying there in pain. And, you know, we just don't know. You don't know what you're going to face. But I think there are a lot of lessons that we can learn in life and the burdens that God gives to us. And I think there's a certain response to these burdens and the things that you're dealing with and the things that are before you right now that nobody knows about. Maybe you haven't shared a word with anyone. But in your life and where you're at, there are things that are going on that are horrendous. And so let's ask God to speak to our hearts and work in our lives today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. If you'll turn in your Bibles there, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then he says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let it every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And look at verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burdens. Now, verse 2, the scripture says that we're to bear one another's burdens. But then you drop down to verse 5 and it says you're to bear your own burdens. So what are we supposed to do? All of us have things in life. All of us have burdens. And so what do we do not only with our own burdens, but what do we do with other people's burdens too? With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many this morning would say, preacher, God's already struck a chord in my heart today that there are things, there are issues, there are things before me that I need to ask God to work in my heart and my life. I've got my own burdens and I'm not doing a real good job of handling them sometimes. And I've got people that have burdens and I don't do real good handling somebody else's burdens. Would you pray with me, pray for me, that God will speak into my life and give me some answers. Many, many of you are raising your hand saying, preacher, please pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I don't know what to do, I'm at a loss. I'm kicking and screaming and fussing and fighting and going against this. And I don't know how to handle it. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. Pray for me. Anyone else? Father, in the quietness of this moment, we thank you that you're fully aware of everything that we deal with. And Lord, a lot of times these are things you've ordered for our lives. I truly believe that you allow things to come to our life to conform us more to the image of your dear Son. And God, I pray this morning that you will give wisdom, you'll give strength, you'll give grace and mercy. God, you will do for us this morning that which we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, that we'll learn contentment, we'll learn to be patient, we'll learn to embrace the situations that you've ordered for our lives. And some things I truly believe, Lord, we don't need to hang on to. And so I'm praying that you will give us your heart and your mind in relationship to the things that we deal with, that we might bear one another's burdens, but also bear our own burdens and do them in such a way that we still come across spiritual and that we are still a blessing to your heart as you watch every move we make. And I know you're not there in condemnation. You're there to be a blessing. You're there to be, as Kathy said this week, you're there to be a gentle God, to take us by the hand and the heart and lead us through the puddles that we deal with in the paths of life. And so, Lord, teach us by your Spirit today. God, work in somebody's heart that needs to be saved. Maybe that's the biggest struggle they face, the greatest burden they have. They don't know for sure that heaven's going to be their home. They haven't been cleared of sin and guilt. But today, in an encounter with you, they could walk away as a different person. So, Lord, you have your will, your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, there's the reality of burdens. Many times, I don't know about you, but I run from things. Anybody ever run from something? When life gets a little tough and hard, what do? Gone. Try to get away from it. And you know what? I mean, I used to be pretty fast in the day. And that was a long time ago. What are you laughing at, Tommy? I'll race you right now. Bring it on, brother. Okay, there has been a challenge made. All right, anyway, God bless you, Tommy. But we are guilty many times of going the opposite direction of hard times. Isn't it easy sometimes to put off things that we need to deal with? That's called what? Procrastination. I've learned in life that the best thing you need to deal with is the ones you hate to deal with the most. Get it first. If you're like me, we put it off and put it off and put it off, and sometimes we'll put it off for years. Where the important thing is to hit the tough situations, hit them head on. There is the reality of burdens. First of all, they're inevitable. There might be somebody in here this morning that maybe you don't have any burdens. And if you don't have any burdens, would you please pray for us that do? Amen. They're inevitable. Secondly, they are immense. They're big. They're enormous. They're bigger than anything that you and I can fathom in our life. Some of you have been sheltered in your lifetime. I can relate to what Brenda and them are feeling. When I talked to Brenda on the phone yesterday, we both got choked up because I know the emotions of what she's going through. I know what that family is feeling because I've been there, done that. Many of you in this room have. You know exactly what they're going through. And so situations that we face in life, the burdens of life, they're bigger than what we can handle. Thirdly, they're intense. They're extreme in degree. I heard somebody this morning that got cancer all over their body. Their days are numbered. They just found out and boom, within days to come or weeks or months down the road, more than likely they'll be crossing over into eternity. Get that phone call. Some of you sitting here this morning with aches and pains and you've already contemplated in your mind that that's where you're headed. We deal with family situations. We deal with financial situations. We deal with physical situations. We deal with so many different things in life as we go through life. We have burdens for other people. And you know what? Sometimes other people can't be very understanding, can they? Because their level of expectation for you in ministering to them is far beyond their comprehension. And I know as a pastor, I have to be very, very careful because I represent so many people's burdens. I mean, I can understand how some pastors will lose their mind. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the burdens get so overwhelming. I mean, you know, you guys look at it from one perspective. I don't look at it from, well, I got a truckload of things I'm dealing with, but I get texts, I get phone calls, I get emails, and it's just not me and mine. But it's everybody's. And I wish to God I could fix them for you. I wish that I could just jump in there and say, got it done. We're going to move on. But it doesn't work that way. And so I've had to learn to deal with these things. And sometimes it just beyond my capability. I'm so thankful that I have the Lord to turn to take them to Him. And I'm like, God, this thing is so overwhelming to me and it's overwhelming to them. But I'm thankful that we can look to You because they're so intense. And they'll suck the breath of you. They're intriguing sometimes. We don't understand them. Like, where in the world did that come from? Just in a matter of days or hours that you get a phone call. I mean, just like yesterday when I picked that phone up and I looked at that message and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't know what you're going through. You're going through something. And if you're not going through it, you're going to be going through it. And it'll come out of nowhere. Some of you guys are deer hunters. Isn't it amazing how a deer can walk through the woods and not make any noise? I don't understand that. They got them little teeny weeny paws, but I think sometimes they just drop down out of heaven when I'm not looking and I'm like, where'd this thing come from? And aren't burdens like that? They just come out of nowhere. And it's like, boom. Not only are they intriguing, but they're also intolerable. You see, there are people seated in here this morning. You won't tell anybody, but the burden that you're bearing is heavier than you can handle. One of the things I do in studying the scriptures, I read different translations. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I preach out of a King James Bible, have always preached out of a King James Bible. Probably will do that for the rest of my days. I don't know. I don't have any plans of changing. But I read other versions just to get kind of a different slant, although it doesn't take away from the scriptures, but it gives me a deeper insight as to what's being written here. Psalm 55 in the New Translation in verses 1 through 8, let me read these words to you. It says, listen to my prayer, O God. Now, if you're in the depth of a trial, you got a burden that's bigger than life, you're going to understand what's being said here. You're going to feel the emotion of these words. It says, listen to my prayer, O God. You ever just want God to stop sometimes and to listen to you? You ever try to talk to somebody and you know they're not listening and they're looking you in the face? That's a stupid question, wasn't it? Anyway, let me get back to this before I get in trouble. I might chase a rabbit on this one and get myself in hot water. He says, do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. Mine enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me, and fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. You ever feel those emotions sometimes? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest, and I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly can I escape far from the wild storm of hatred? You see, that was what the psalmist was conveying. Any of you identify with that? You're all sitting here this morning looking so fine with a nice little smile on your face. But let me ask you a question. What's really going on in your heart? What's your marriage relationship like? How are your children doing? How about your finances? What about guilt, condemnation? What about sin? What about divorce, debt, defeat? Holidays, a multitude of things that just even me mentioning one word is enough that your heart begins to patter and the beat arises because you're like, you don't tell anybody. See, many times we don't let people see a sweat or squirm. That's what I was always told as a man. Son, you don't let people think you're weak. You're to be in control, strong all the time. That's the reality of burdens. Our response to burdens. There are some things in life I believe that God wants us to embrace. The Hebrew word for burden is what has been given to me. You know, what comes into our life is not by happen chance. It's not like that little doe that just walks up and is standing under your tree stand and you didn't hear her coming and all of a sudden, there she is. A lot of these things are ordered by God or allowed by God. And circumstances just dictate to you and I. Couldn't God have changed it? Well, sure he could, but for some reason he didn't do it. And I believe that first of all, a response is to shoulder burdens. There's some burdens that God just wants us to bear. They're personal burdens. And I like the definition of a personal burden is that they're tailor-made. Tailor-made by God just for you. It's a GM product. God-made, given to you because God knows what it's going to take in your life and my life to conform us to the image of his son. They're not only personal. They're not transferable. I can't shake them. I can't get rid of them. I live alone in those burdens sometimes. And I don't like that. And I feel so secluded at times when we're walking through hardships. But the thing that I got to go back and I have to rehearse in my heart and life is that God knows everything. He's sovereign. He's the blessed control of all things. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the burden is this morning. God knows. And it's not only personable, but it can be profitable. What did Paul do? Three different times, Paul pleaded for the grace of God to release him from the infirmities. And what did God say to him? Hey, my grace is sufficient for you. And he never took that infirmity away from him. Was God being mean to him? No. There are times that God wants to wean us off of people and wean us off of ourselves. And he will allow us to become weakened in life, that he becomes our strength. You see, one of the greatest problems for many of us is that we think very highly of ourselves and God is blessed to have us. Amen. And we think sometimes, you know, how could God make it if it wasn't for me? You ever think that way? John and I were talking, coming out of the gym a minute ago, and I said, John, you look good today. He said, you look good. He said, you know, sometimes I walk by that mirror and I look at myself and I think, wow. I said, John, I used to think that way. Now when I walk by that mirror and look at myself, I'm like, oh no, who is that man? Sometimes our opinion of ourselves changes. We don't look at ourselves the same we used to. The things that we go through, things that we deal with in life, and things change, but it can be definitely profitable. And I believe that these shoulder burdens are perfect. They're perfect. God gives them to us for a specific reason. A biologist was studying ants. And he would sit and watch these ants and how they moved and things that they did. And he noticed this one little ant was walking across the dirt, and he had a piece of straw that was twice his size. Had it laid across him. He gets this little crevice, and there's no way that the ant can get across there. He takes that piece of straw and lays it across the crevice, walks across, reaches back, picks up the piece of straw, and goes on. That little ant had enough sense to recognize that his burden became his bridge. What is it that you're dealing with in life that you look as a burden, but God could be saying, this is a bridge. Look for the good of what I'm doing in your life and learn to shoulder that. Psalm 61 verse 2 says, my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. You know, the prayer for some in this room needs to be, oh God, thank you for the burden that you've allowed to come to my life. And I don't know how you're going to work this thing out, and I don't know how you're going to swing it, God, but I'm believing that amidst of the turbulence in my life that things are going to work out for your good. My Bible says in Romans 8:28, and people always say, well, the Bible says, you know, that God will work everything out for his good. No, the first part of that verse says, for this we know. So many times we forget the most important part of it. Yes, God will work things out for his good, for our good, his glory. But we don't need to question that, although we do at times. But have the right attitude concerning the burden that God has allowed to come to your life, because it could be the thing that God is using to refine you and to conform you more to his image. Two monks were headed to the village to help out with getting the crops in. And they're walking down a path, and all of a sudden one of them noticed there was an elderly lady sitting beside the river crying. And he said, come on. They walked down and they said, ma'am, what's the problem? She said, I can't get across the river. And they looked at each other and they said, well, ma'am, we'll take you across. They joined hands. She sat down on their arms. They walked her through the water, took her to the other side, set her down on the other side of the shore, went back across and headed back to the village. That little lady went on about her business. Well, they walked on for a little ways. The second monk said, you know, my back hurts. And look at my clothes. Man, my clothes are a nasty mess. I'm soaking wet and my back hurts. So they walked on a little bit longer, and the second monk again says, you know, my back, I don't even know if I can keep going. My back hurts so bad. He looked at the first monk and he said, how come you're not complaining? He said, the reason why I'm not complaining is because I'm not still carrying that woman. You are. He said, I set her down a mile back the road, but in your eyes, you're still carrying her. You know, there are times that we have burdens in life, friends, that we don't need to be weighted down with all the stuff and the peripherals in relationship to it, and quit kicking and screaming against it. Shoulder it. Embrace it. Thank him. Praise him. I believe not only in shouldering the burdens, but I think there's some that we share, that which means that we need to take the initiative. I appreciate so much my brother-in-law and my sister. They had a gentleman that came to their church and they got to know him. He was an alcoholic. Now, I'm not saying I'd do this, and I'm not sure I'd recommend them you doing this, but this is what my brother-in-law and sister did. They took him into their home. He didn't have any place to live. He didn't have a job. So they said, here's a bedroom. You can stay in our house. My brother-in-law said, you can stay here, but you're not allowed to drink in my home. We'll do whatever we need to do to help you. We'll feed you. We'll provide you a bedroom. You got a bathroom right off your bedroom. You can stay here as long as you need, but you need to find a job and you need to be working towards getting out. But our home is your home. He stayed there for 2.5 months. They fed him. They helped him to get a job. At times they clothed him. How many of us would sleep good at night knowing that he's downstairs in a bedroom and you're upstairs in another bedroom? Some of you in this room would say, not on your life. But you know what they were doing? They were sharing the burden. You see, many times we're so selfish, we don't want to get involved in other people's stuff because it's going to cost us something. It's going to cramp our style. You got to commit and you got to take initiative. The scripture says in verse 1, brethren, if you see another brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you're to commit yourself in a spirit of meekness to do nothing more than see them being restored and reconciled and see them being brought back to their proper place of making restitution or whatever needs to be done. You know, over and over again, the scriptures, 12 times in the New Testament, says we're to love one another. It says we're to pray for one another, edify one another, prefer one another, be hospitable one to another, admonish one another, greet one another, forgive one another, forbear one another, provoke one another to good works, comfort one another, exhort one another. Over and over again, the scripture says that we are to share the burdens of other people. Romans 15, verse 1 and 2, when thou art strong, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Hebrews 13, 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, we're to consider people that are bound and to bind ourselves with them and bear that burden with them. Who in your life needs you to come up alongside of them and minister to them? Their shouldered burdens, their shared burdens. It was a lady that found out she was pregnant. A few weeks into the pregnancy, the doctors called her in and said, "Ma'am, I hate to give you this report, but your child has some real deficiencies. My recommendation to you would be to abort." She said, "Not on your life. God's given me this child and I'll see the pregnancy through." And for months and months, she prayed for that baby, that God would give health to that baby and God would meet the needs. Months down the road, she got a call one day and it was the doctor. And he said, "Ma'am, would you come in? We need to talk to you." She came into the office, she sat down, and he looked at her and he said, "Ma'am, we have made a grave mistake. We got your records confused with somebody else. Your baby's fine, but another baby, mother's baby is not." That mother left and went home. And on her way home, she said, "You know, how can I stop praying for that little baby even though it's not my baby anymore?" And she continued to not only pray for that baby, but to pray for that mother. Because she said, "I couldn't imagine as a mother then getting that report later on in her pregnancy." And she shouldered that burden. She shared that burden. She stayed there and embraced that. Even got in contact with that mother and ministered to her through her pregnancy. And when that little baby was born to another mother, it was fine. You see, we don't know. We don't know what we're dealing with. And how many of us in the midst of our burdens are kicking and screaming? We're eat up with envy and strife. We're all about ourselves. Remember that statement, not everything happens to you. It's always about you. And I believe that there are also burdens that we shift. My Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, 29, "There come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your own souls." I believe there are times in life, friends, that God wants us to shift those burdens to Him. Not only the burden, but ourselves. One of the verses in Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer thy the righteous to be moved." To cast. I believe there are times that we need to call in the reinforcements. And God says, yes, this is something that's bigger than you can handle, but I can tell you what, I can handle it. Some today need to release those things to the Lord and say, God, I'm not only going to cast my burden, but I'm going to cast myself on you because I just cannot take it. When was the last time you released something to the Lord? And lastly, in closing, I believe there are times that God wants us to shed burdens. I truly believe there are things that we embrace sometimes that God never intended for us to embrace. Mamas, you're burdened about your children, but how many mothers in this room are fearful? I know women that are consumed with fear, doubt, distrust, because they're scared to death that something might happen to their kids. Can I say something to you? That's a burden God never intended for you to bear. Yeah, but I'm a mama. I understand that. But He didn't mean for you to walk in fear, because fear is the total absence of faith. You don't think God loves that little child? Sure He does. And I can't imagine what you go through in your emotions. And all of us in this room, there are things that we deal with in life that sometimes God just says, hey, I want you to shed them. I read across a statement this week, said, I have no grace for loads like this, Jesus was saying. That's not my burden you're bearing. That's some of the devil's bundles that you've picked up in life. And I'll never give you the strength to be able to bear his bundles, but I'll surely give you the grace to bear my burden. Now, how many of us need wisdom and discernment to say, God, am I holding something? Am I under the burden of something that you never really intended for me to bear the burden on? There have been situations that I've dealt with people and walking through them, and there are times that God said, hey, you've done all you can do, son, and the best thing you need to do is step back. Now, that's one of the hardest things to do as a pastor. That's hard to do as a parent. How many of us in this room have had to back up on some situations, that burdens that we're bearing for our kids, and God said, listen, I'll take care of it. You just back off and pray. Now, that's tough. But we need to be sensitive to that. Because there again, God allows situations to come to our lives, and I have the gift of mercy. I've got a pastor's heart. So I want to jump in there and fix it for people. But in 32 years, I've learned I can't fix it for some people. And sometimes I get in the way of what God wants to do. And it's best for me to pull back and just take that stance and say, listen, I'm praying for you. I can't fix your situation. This is something that you and God are going to have to hammer out. But I believe when we deal with burdens in life, there are four things we need to do. We either shoulder them, or what do? We share them. We shift them, and sometimes we shed them. How is God speaking to your heart this morning? What's He saying to you? Many of you at the beginning of the service raise your hand and say, preacher, I got burdens. Whether it's mine personally or somebody else's, but I'm burdened. And what does God want you to do with them? And don't try to get rid of something that God wants you to shoulder. Embrace it, thank Him for it. Trust Him in the midst of the trial. For the shared burdens, stay there. Get everything that God has for you in the midst of it. And ask Him to give you strength. There are burdens you need to shift. You and the burden needs to be shifted to the Lord. But there's some this morning you just need to say, Lord, I'm releasing it to you because you never intended for me to pick this up. And so, Lord, I'm just releasing it to you and believing that somehow, some way, you're going to work it all out. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how has God spoken to your heart? How has God spoken to your heart? There are altars available this morning. There are some that need to come. You say, preacher, I just need to come and cast my burden on the Lord. Oh, he has a big heart and open arms to embrace whatever it is that you're facing. And he wants you to come to him. Preacher, I want it fixed. I want it changed. I don't like it. In the quietness of this moment, what do you need to say to God right now? You know, oftentimes when I talk to people personally, I'll recommend them to just take a minute and recognize that God's standing right beside you. And if that be the case, what do you need to tell him? What do you need to say to God? Friends, he's here today. He's not some far out yonder God. He's here. What do you need to say to him? Are there people here today that need Christ as their Savior? What you need to say to him today is, oh God, forgive me and come into my heart and release me from this burden, that I can have the joy of knowing that I have a gift of eternal life. And would you save me, oh God, for your sake? I don't know what God's saying to you, but I do know this. He's got your back, and he loves you. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth and the reality of the scriptures, that I'm not only to bear the burdens of others, but I'm also to bear my own burdens. And I'm to do it in such a way that brings glory and honor to you and is a testimony to other people. When I see a brother overtaken in a fault, I'm to take the initiative and the basic intent of seeing restoration and restitution and reconciliation. And so God, help us as we walk through life and face the difficulties of what we're confronted with every single day. And so I thank you for your truths that can help us. And we love you today in Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand as we sing?